We continue our learning of the Nishmas Tovim ben Menachem Rish and Nechem Yaakov and Pinchas Aliya. We are in Gittin, Perakei Mishnehe. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gurgada. Rabbi Yochanan ben Gurgada, who lived at the time of Chorba by Sheni, he was also in Yavne. He testified in front of the Chachamim, and this Mishnah is found in Adios as well. There we have many testimonies of Halacha. There it's in Perak Zayin Mishnah Tes. And he testified, Alachei Reshes, regarding a deaf mute, Shehi Si'a Aviha, who was married off by her father when she was a Ketana. Now that is a Kiddushin de Oraisa. Even though she has no Das, it doesn't matter. She's not competent as a Chei Reshes, a Chei Reshot of a Ketan. In this case, she's like no different than a Ketana, because a Ketana could be married off by her father on a de Oraisa level as well. So she's now married midoraisa, but now the husband wants to divorce her. To give her a get, doesn't she need das? And she doesn't have das. So the Mishnah here says that he testified that indeed she yotza the get. The Chachamim have said she can be divorced with the get. You'll say she has no das, it doesn't matter. Since a woman can be divorced on a d'oraisa level, bal karcha, against her will, so here as well, it's not das is not essential when it comes to being divorced. Another thing that he testified, k'tana bas Yisrael, she's married to a kohen. And let's say we're speaking about a Yisoma, where the father passed away. It's not a marriage d'oraisa, or her mother or brother married her off to a Kohen. So she's only married to a Kohen on a Darabonon level. So, and she's a Bas Yisrael. So to eat Truma, she can only eat Truma, and she's married to a Kohen on a d'oraisa level. So the Mishnah says she can eat Truma, but we're referring to Truma Darabonon. Truma Darabonon, you have, let's say, Truma Bisman Hazeh, Truma maybe only Rabbanu Truma, if it's something that's planted in an Atzot, let's say you're growing things in a flower pot that doesn't have a hole, and therefore it's not, it doesn't derive its nutrients, its sustenance from the ground, anything that grows in there is Truma Rabbanu. She can eat Truma Rabbanu, and we don't make a gzera that she shouldn't eat Truma Rabbanu, because we're afraid she may eat Truma Doraisa. So Ketana Bas Yisrael, married to a Kohen, even though she's married off by her mother or her brother, and her marriage is not Doraisa, she can eat Truma Rabbanu, and we don't make a gzera on Truma Darabanan ought to because of Truma Doraisa, Vimesa. And let's say this Ketana, who was married to a Kohen, and she passes away, she has property, let's say, Ba'ala Yorsha. Her husband is Yorish her, even though the marriage is only Darabanan. Nonetheless, the husband can be Yorish her mitakonis Darabanan based on the famous principle, Hefker based in Hefker. That which based in declares ownerless has the status of being ownerless, based on the Pasuk Yoshua, Perek Yotes, Pasuk Nun Aleph, Elah. This is the famous, one of the famous sources of Hefker based in Hefker. Eila hanachalos asher nichalu, hanachalos asher nichalu elazar hakohen v'yoshua ben nun rashay ha'avos lamatos b'nei Yisrael. So here, we're speaking, and we mention on the one in rashay, and then we say ha'avos. What are rashay ha'avos? Rashay usually mean like the heads of, we have the heads of tribes, and avos are our fathers, our parents. So it's coming to just like this. Ma avos manchilim es b'neim kol masha yiritzu, just like fathers can bequeath to their sons whatever they want. Af rashim, so too, the heads of the tribes, which means the batei dinim, manchilim esam kol masha yiritzu, they can also bequeath to the people whatever they want. The Gemara Yevamos Daf Pei Testament Beis says this, and this is the famous concept of Hefker Beis Gan Hefker. And therefore, even though this marriage of the Bas Yisrael to a Kohen who is not married off by her father, married off by her mother or brother, is only in the Durabana. Nonetheless, if she passes away and she has property, that her husband is going to be Yorish her based on the principle of Hefker based in Hefker. What else did he test? Did this Rabbi Yochanan ben Gurgada testify? Val HaMorish HaGazul. Person stole a beam from his friend, Sheb bin Ao Bibira, and the Gazlan built this into a building. It's, let's say, it's part of the roof now. She told Estama, the Chachamim, made a takana that the owner of the Korah of the beam, the Nigzal, the one who had it stolen from him, should be willing to accept money, and the Gazlan is not obligated to return the Korah, the beam itself. Why? Mipnei takana sashavim, in order as a takana for to encourage people to return objects that they stole. So generally speaking, when it comes to, let's say if you stole a piece of wood and then you ground it up and you made it, or you made it into something, so now it's no longer the way it is. So then, okay, so then you could argue there's a shinui maisa, it has changed. So maybe that, obviously we aren't expected to return the item the way it is. There's nothing you can do about it. But here, you built it into the building. So you really could take apart the roof and take off that bin and return it. And maybe that's what you should do, because that's what you stole. Nonetheless, we know if we're going to make you take apart your roof, you're going to say, you know, I decided not to return. It's not worth it for me. So therefore, the chachamim in itakana that you don't have to return, even though the object is ben, even though it's still around, nonetheless, and hasn't been changed at all, nonetheless, the chachamim said you can return its value, you can pay the money, and you can keep the item. So that's what it means. Vnei al-marish, abim ha-gazel, shebeno bavir, that he built into a building, she told us damav, where we say the nigzal should accept money, vnei takanas ha-shamim, to encourage people to return objects that they steal. And what else did he testify? Al-chatas ha-gazula, shalono dal-arabim. You have a carbon chatas that was stolen, an animal that the owner didn't know, lona dal-arabim. People didn't know that it was stolen. So, but he really shouldn't, it should be disqualified. It's a stolen animal. How can he can get kapara for an aveira he did b'shogeg, but with the carbon that was stolen? But since people don't know about it, we say the chachamim made a takanashi mechaperes mibnei tikkun olam. The owner, it's mechaper, it atones for the owner, and he doesn't have to bring another carbon chatas, because at that time it was unknown. And the Gemara says, why? What's the tikkun hamizbeach? What's the tikkun, what welfare of the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash is there in such a case? So the answer is, so that the Mizbeach doesn't remain batel, desolate, with karbonos, Kohenim not bringing karbonos. Why would that happen? So because if we say that a chatas gezula, stolen chatas, that people didn't know about, is not mechaper, the Kohenim are going to be thinking every day, you know, maybe the karbonos we're bringing are stolen and not mechaper. They'll be very depressed. And they're eating now chulin that were shechted in the azara, which is prohibited. So they're going to say, you know what? I'd rather not bring the carbon. Better not bring it at all, on the chance that maybe these are stolen, rather than violating the Torah by eating chulin in the azara, bringing carbonos that are not mechaper anyway, and have the status of chulin, and they're not kadosh, which we're not allowed to bring. They have the chachamim made a takana that a chatas gezula that people didn't know about is mechaper. The chachamim have this one. Once again, is employing the principle of Hefker, based in Hefker. They have the right to say that this is ours. We declare this ownerless from the person who really, who's the real owner of this. And therefore, this indeed is going to be Mechaper. Perakei Mishnah Vav, we're going to be speaking about the law of the Sikri Kohen. The Sikri Kohen is an extortionist. Speaking about non-Jews at a time, specifically during the Roman occupation of Yerushalayim, of Eretz Yisrael. And the halacha of a sikri kohen is referring to cases where land was stolen, was taken, was confiscated by the Roman government or extortionists who are taking land from the Jew and stealing land from the Jews. And there are certain halachos that apply. So the first thing the Mishnah says is, Lo haya sikri kohen bihuda baharuge hamelchama. We're pointing out is that there was the halacha we're about to discuss regarding buying land from a non-Jew who took it from a Jew by threatening the Jew's life. That did not apply at the time when Titus came to Yerushalayim and Yehuda. Why is that so? Because at that time the soldiers were told to kill Jews no matter what. And therefore, if a Jew, let's say, tried to buy off one of the a Roman soldier with his land by giving him his land, we assume that he was willing to sell it, willing to give it to him, and willing to part with it because he just wanted to save his life. And that way, that transaction is completely valid. And that Jew who tried to save himself by giving this to a non-Jew, that Jew loses all rights to the land. And that's what we're saying is, at that time, the rule of sikri kohen did not apply by haruge milchama, because then we assume whenever a Jew gave it to a non-Jew, we assume it's a valid sale, whatever it may be, a valid gift. Because otherwise he would have been killed. But meharuge hamelchama ve'elech. But from that time and on, when according to some, let's say the Romans were not killing Jews at the same time, maybe it was even illegal at that point, even according to the Romans, to kill innocent Jews. So then, if a Roman forced a Jew to give him his land, his property, the Jew was not sincere with that gift. and he thought about the fact he had intention that he's going to recover. So what's the problem? The problem here is if another Jew may have purchased that land from the Sikra Kohen. Sikra Kohen may, as we'll see, may have given it for a good price, discount price. After all, the Sikra Kohen got it for free. So now you have, let's say you have Reuven. Reuven owned the land, and a Sikra Kohen took it from him. Reuven gave it to him because he wanted to save his life. But now Shimon buys the land from the Sikra Kohen. So do we say Shimon is the real owner, or do we say no? Reuven never sold it really, never gave it really sincerely to the Sikra Kohen. Reuven may have wanted to eventually get it back. That was his intention. Eventually, when it leaves the hands of the Sikra Kohen, it's now in the hands of another Jew. So that's what we're pointing out is, but by Haruge Yehuda, Haregu HaMelchama in Yehuda and Yushalayim, there was no Din Sikra Kohen, which means that we can assume that Shimon is able to keep that field he got, because we know Reuven gave it to the Sikra Kohen as a complete gift. But me Haruge HaMelchama Melechon, things subsided somewhat, so the Yesh ba Sikra Kohen. The rule of Sikra Kohen would apply. So the Mishnah explains. Ketzad, how this work. So lokach mi Sikra Kohen v'chazor lokach mi balabayis. So in the circumstances where the law of Sikra Kohen did apply, and Shimon purchasing land from the Sikra Kohen is not going to be his land, and really Reuven is the one who owns the land. So the Mishnah says, if in fact Shimon bought the land from the Sikra Kohen and then he went to Reuven and said, oh, and he actually paid him for the land. Still, mikobatel. The Reuven, the original owner, can recover the field from Shimon in court because the fact that he agreed to the sale was really because of the fear of the Sikra Kohen. Even though the Sikra Kohen may have sold it to Shimon, he's afraid, Reuven's still afraid of that Sikra Kohen, the one who took it from him to begin with. So, and that would be true even if he wrote a shtar, a deed, let's say, he can get the field back. But let's say, according to some, let's say Reuven accepted complete responsibility. And this way he wrote, we speak about his mishabed everything. Meaning, if anything happens to that land, I'm going to make sure to pay back. So then the sale is going to be valid. Why? Because if that's what Reuven had in mind when he sold, when he gave it to the Sikra Kohen, I will reimburse no matter what. Sikra Kohen doesn't usually require that. Shibud Nechasim, whatever it is. The fact that Reuven did so must be because he had money. He's not planning on getting it back, even if subsequently Shimon comes along and buys it. So if the Sheba Nechasim, so then we assume it's a real sale. So once again, if he bought it, if Shimon came and bought it from the Sikra Kohen and then even paid Reuven for it, generally speaking, doesn't matter. Reuven can still get it back. But mi balabayis v'chazar v'lakach mi Sikra Kohen, then mi Sikra Kohen, then mikcho kayim. Let's say he have a case where Shimon came to Reuven to buy a piece of land, and then what did he do? So then Shimon, the buyer, went over to the Sikra Kohen, let's say the local Sikra Kohen, who normally was confiscating fields, and he paid him off. Just in case, so you don't come in and take this land from me. So then the halacha is then the mikcho kayim. Why? Because the owner, Reuven, wasn't under any pressure at that point. Shimon was the first one who came to him to buy the land. So we assume, therefore, the land is fine, even though Shimon may have paid off his Sikra Kohen afterwards. Lokach minoish. Now, another case similar in terms of the order. Lokach minoish, v'chaz v'lokach minoish. You have a man who sold land that was designated for the payment of the ksuv of his wife, and or maybe it could be land that was part of the nichsei tzon barzel, which we remember from Maseches Ktuvos, which where the wife brings into the marriage, it's written into the ksuva, she has to be reimbursed the full value if they're divorced. So here we have a case where someone purchased the land from the ish, and then he came afterwards to the isha. So he paid the wife so that she would relinquish her right to collect the ksuva from that particular field that originally had been designated. So the man sold it, and then this guy goes to the wife to say, oh, by the way, I want to make sure that you're not going to come and collect this land for your ksuva. So mikcho batel, that purchase is batel, is void. The purchase from the wife is void, and that would be true even if she wrote a separate shtar for it, because she can say, I only did so because I didn't want my husband to be upset. I wanted to give nachas ruach asisi lebali. So that's why it's not considered a sale. Then the Mishnah says, Zo Mishnah Rishona. So that's the first order rather. Lokachem Anisha v'Chazar Lokachem Anisha. That is Mikol Bato. But the other way, Minoisha v'Chazar v'Lokach Minoish Mikol Chayim. But if he went to the wife first, meaning she sold her rights to the field, husband had nothing to do with it. And then this guy goes to the husband and says, by the way, you know, your wife sold her rights. You know, I want to make sure that I can buy this, and this is not designated for the ksuva, by going to the woman first. So then that is considered a sale. Same idea as we have when it came to Sikra Kohen. Depends on who you go to first. Zo Mishnah Rishona. So the Mishnah says this idea that we nullify the purchase of land from a Sikra Kohen, that the Sikra Kohen halacha, that was the original halacha. But the Beis Din afterwards changed the halacha. Beis Din Shalachareim Amru, they said differently. Halokeach mi Sikra Kohen nosein labailim revia. So a later court decided that the purchase of land from the Sikra Kohen is considered a valid purchase, but that's only if what does the buyer have to do? Our case, Shimon, that he buys from the Sikra Kohen, it's a sale. It's a sale, and Reuven can't take it back, even though it was Shimon bought it from the Sikra Kohen. Nonetheless, Shimon has to return 1/4 of the land to Reuven. Or his other choice is to pay a third. The Gemara says the following. The Gemara says that the following quote here: Revia bakarka shu shlish b'mos. So let's say Shimon bought the field from the Sikra Kohen for 300 zuz. So he has to give the Bailim 100 zuz. Because they, why do they do that? Because the Chachamim assess that the Sikra Kohen generally lowers the price for Shimon, for the buyer, 1/4 of the regular price of the field. Why does he do that? Well, the Sikra Kohen got it for free. So therefore, why not give Shimon a discount? So the discount is 1/4. So therefore, what does he do? He gives, the Shimon gives Reuven, the sale is a sale according to the Mishnah Acharon, according to the Halacha. And the sale is a sale, no, Reuven can't get it back. But the Shimon does have to pay either that 1/4, which means 1/4 of the field, which we assume is 1/3 of the value. And in that way, Shimon is zoch in the field. So he pays, let's say, 1/3 of the money. If the owner wants, then in different, he could say, the owner, either it's 1/3 of the price or 1/4 of the land that is given back. So that is the Mishnah Achron. Then Mishnah says, Ema, Saib is manchem yadon likach. So where does this halach apply? When is the buyer able to keep the field? Assuming he gives 1/4 back to the original owner, Shimon gives it back to Reuven, then we say Shimon, who bought it from the Sikra Kohen, is able to keep it. Bizman she'en biyadon likach. That, if Reuven can't afford to buy the field from the Sikra Kohen, so then we let Shimon buy it and give the owner 1/4. Well, yesh biyadon likach. But let's say the owner has the money. Then he has the right to buy the field back from the Sikra Kohen, and other, no one else is able to purchase it. Then the Mishnah says, they are first. Rebbe Hoshiv based in Minibnu, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. So he convened a court to deal with this particular issue of the Sikra Kohen. And what was his concern? Well, he wanted to prevent the land of Eretz Yisrael from being left in the hands of non-Jews. People were afraid, well, I'm not going to buy it because it's going to go back to the original owner anyway. So we don't want that to happen. So Shimon, the Shimons of Eretz Yisrael, aren't going to want to buy the land from non-Jews from the Sikra Kohen because they're afraid that it's not going to be a valid sale anyway. Reuven will come and confiscate it. So land of Eretz Yisrael was remaining. There were lands, homes remaining in the hands of non-Jews. So Rebbe convened a Beis Din v'nimnu, and they voted Shim Shasu Shasa Bifnei Sikra Kohen of Shnei Masar Chodesh. He says, no, if it's in the hands of the Sikra Kohen for 12 months already, then anyone who wants can come and buy it from the Sikra Kohen, from the extortionist, and the sale is a sale, and the owner cannot come back and say, as the Mishnah said, well, if he has the means, he really has precedence over everybody else. No, at that point, the owner cannot, and the Shimons of Eretz Yisrael can buy, but of course they still have to give the owner 1/4.